What up, my dudes, and welcome to the best things about pro wrestling this month, the show where we talk about some of the best things about pro wrestling in that particular month, whether it's a match, segment, character development, or anything between. This is the show where you talk about, or the guest, depending on the episode, where we talk about some of the best things about pro wrestling that particular. Basically, we talk about our highlights, okay? I know I'm messing up the intro already. This is like the 8th episode. I'm already messing up the fucking intro. But, you know, it is what it is. Hit that 5 stars for that brilliant fucking intro. I'm Omar, the same host that has a life advice. Life advice for all you 3 viewers listening. And that is, if you fuck around, you will get smoked. That is a life advice that you should ingrain in your head because, life sucks, and if you fuck around, you will get smoked. Shout out to Little Mouse. But yes, I did. Yes, I know my old. I know my 3 viewers. I know you guys have been asking, why have you not uploaded the best things about pro wrestling the month of September? Well, imagine talking for like 35 minutes, which by the way was a solo episode because I didn't have a guest for that month, and then you realize that you were recording using your laptop's mic. And not your actual mic. Yeah, it sounded like me talking to, like, in the background of, like, AC. It was, like, just the noise of AC. Meanwhile, you could barely hear my voice because that's how bad it was, right? But, yeah, let's just get the housekeeping out of the way. Since the month of September, I have finally launched my YouTubes. Yeah, but that's because I want to upload my shorts similar to TikTok. And so far, it's doing extremely well. Thank you guys so much. We've reached over 5,000 total viewers, and I've reached over 8 to 10,000 total impressions. And I think there's a click-through. I don't know what click-through rate does. I've heard this shit all the time as a YouTube connoisseur, as a YouTube consumer myself. You always hear the, you know, click-through rate and, you know, was impressions and all these things. And then you realize, and then you don't know these things. And then you're like, oh, I got like a 4.1 click-through rate, which I guess I'm doing well for myself, I guess. But yeah, all the shorts I've uploaded so far has done pretty well, depending. Because then you realize that one video gets like 2,000 views, the next video that you upload and the next YouTube show would be like 5 views. So yeah, that's the struggle of being a quote-unquote content creator. But yeah, at least I did at least within like the 2 weeks that my YouTube has officially gone live, I've reached over 5,000 views, like 5,000 total viewers. So I'm very, very happy with that. The site that I have, playoutwrestlingpodcast.blogspot.com, if you want to check out my articles and stuff like that. Yeah, it took me 3 months to reach my first 3,000 viewers. So the fact that it took me 2 weeks to reach my first 5,000 goes to show you that I've come a long way. So yeah, that's the only housekeeping. I'll put the link in the description for my YouTube if you want to see all the shorts clip on YouTube and stuff like that. It's similar to my TikTok. I'll just put it in the description of this episode. So yeah, we can't talk about the highlights about the month of October without some of the honorable mentions, because a lot of things happened around October. Okay, like the Extreme Rules pay-per-view, there were so many returns in the WWE side because their roster is thin, while AEW's roster is is the exact opposite of the word thin. Thang. I don't know why I just put on an American Southern accent. Thang. I don't know what the fuck was that. I hit that 5 stars though for that great impression as a American South or a redneck, whatever. Hit that 5 stars. But anyways, yeah. The first honorable mention I want to talk about is the Bullet Club. Yeah, the OC, Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows. Yeah, they returned, which I'm very happy. Because, number one, by the way, I want to mention an interesting statistic before I want to say anything. Shout out to the Solemn Monster. The Solemn Monster sounds off. He brought this to my attention while I was listening to his episode. Yeah, I don't know if you know this. Let me share you an interesting statistic, okay? So when they were in WWE, this is back in 2018, when they moved from Monday Night Raw to SmackDown, they won a match. Let me just show you the win-loss record streak, because that's how badly they were underutilized, right? So when they showed up, they won a match on SmackDown Live back then, around May of 2018. Now, you're probably thinking, did they win a match since then? No, it wasn't until July of 2019 that they actually won a match. And that was when they went back to Monday Night Raw and formed the DOC, you know. I'm coming for you. Coming for you. That theme song has been stuck in my head for like weeks when that song came out. It's probably Def Rebel's favorite. One of Dev Rebel's best songs, because honestly they're just kind of in my opinion. But yeah. So the OC. So think about this. The last time they won a match when they were here, when they were on SmackDown, was in 2018. And then once they moved back to Monday Night Raw, which was July of 2019, is when they actually won a match. So, yeah, I'm just going to show you some interesting. So, that's an interesting statistic because, in other words, they were pretty much underutilized. And by the way, that statistic was from cagematch.net. So, you know, a great fucking resource. So, if you want to check the wins and loss streaks and stuff like that, you should go to cagematch.net. I don't know why I'm telling you guys as if you don't know what it is, but to all the people who just, for some reason, don't know, just go check them out, because you will find some interesting statistics regarding the wins and loss streaks. I don't fucking know. So the second honorable mention and the last honorable mention is last night's episode of SmackDown, specifically the opening segment, where this was supposed to be a serious fucking segment until Sami Zayn, the way he said it, he was like, you know, Jey Uso, you know, he wasn't feeling a little oozy. Ever since he said that, they would just broke character. Because you can tell they were like improvising on the fly. Because this segment was supposed to be a little bit serious. But even Roman Reigns was like he was laughing his ass off. That's how much, you know, that's how good Sami Zayn is in his current role right now. That dude is fucking hilarious. The way he said oozy was just laugh out loud funny. I fucking loved my ass off. And in general, that episode was very, very good. That episode, SmackDown, last night was actually very good. The return of Emma, you know, it was a great thing. You know, the feud, you know, the teasing of a feud. I mean, not teasing, but like the official feud between Gunther and fucking Rey Mysterio. It's going to be some good stuff. Big man, little man. This is a David vs. Goliath kind of match, which I'm looking forward to. So, yeah, I don't know. As you can read from the title, I do have a guest. His name is Xander, who does the WWE Universe Mode content on YouTube. He's basically a WWE 2K YouTuber, but like specifically for Universe Mode and or GM Mode rather, because they're the same fucking thing. I don't know why people are like, yo, we should bring WWE should bring back GM Mode. I was like, it's basically the same as like Universe Mode, but like exclude the contracts and the signings and stuff like that, and the drafting and stuff like, and drafting from one brand to another. But other than that, like when you craft rivalries and stuff, like it's basically the same. I don't know why people are like, yo, we should bring back GM modes. Like it's the same thing, you know what I mean? Just exclude the contracts and the financial side and the rating side of like the mode. But other than that, it's basically the same thing. Unpopular opinion, I know. But yeah, here it is. Here's my discussion with Xander regarding the best things about pro wrestling. Our highlights oh my god, this podcast fucking sucks. But hit that 5 stars though. Yeah. So here's me and Xander talking about the best things about pro wrestling in the month of October. Okay, so my guest at this time, I don't know why I sound like every backstage wrestling interview, WWE interview ever, but let's just go with it. My guest at this time is a dude who you've seen. I mean, you guys have seen on the wrestling universe, on the WWE universe most specifically. Like, he's a great example of, like, one of those YouTube channels. All these YouTube gurus are like, you got to niche down. He literally niched down. He talks about WWE gaming, you know, the 2K games, but specifically a specific mode called Universe Mode or GM Mode. I don't know. Like I said in the intro a little bit earlier, they're basically the same, but without the competitive edge and the contract signing and the ratings and stuff like that. Would you agree, Xander, or am I crazy or whatever?
Yeah, you're pretty right there. Universe, you can limit it as much as you want, or you can take limits away as much as you want.
Exactly. And here it is, Xander, formerly no, I mean, not formerly, like n who's now LS001. So introduce yourself and basically explain the gist of your channel and what you do basically.
So hi everybody. My name's Xander, Xander LS11, but mainly I just go by Xander from a channel called LS11 Universe, run by myself and my co-host Ray. We do a series of videos on the WWE 2K series of games called Universe Mode, and most channels that do Universe just follow WWE, but we do WWE, AEW, Impact, and occasionally New Japan and Ring of Honor shows. We also added a show for fan characters recently called the LSWF. And essentially all that is it's like, well, if we're running the world of wrestling, this is what it looks like in our vision, and there's as much or as little limits to it as we want. So for example, there was a long time when we were just doing WWE where when stuff like Black Wednesday came around and we lost half our roster, well, that was it, had to write them out of the show. But now it's also like, we're just going to kind of do what we want. Earlier today, we just debuted our Ring of Honor show with Super Card of Honor, and I announced on that show that the next Ring of Honor event, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens from WWE will be wrestling on the show.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. I want to ask you one question because we've seen like an evolution of like WWE, like in terms of WWE gaming content and specifically Universe Mode. We've seen stuff like What Culture and all the other big Oi Bruvs, the Oi Bruv universe, and even outside the Oi Bruv universe. That's what I like to call them, the Oi Bruv wrestling cinematic universe, which I hopefully want to be part of. But anyways, so What Culture and WrestleTalk and then other established YouTube channels have done like Universe Mode for like Monday Night Raw versus SmackDown or stuff like that. Talk to me about your thoughts on stuff on the fantasy booking of it all, because we've seen like the rise of like fantasy booking in on YouTube specifically when it comes to Adam Blampede or Blompy, whatever you call him, and he does like fantasy booking that does like 500,000 to 1 million views. So, like people are very interested. So what are your thoughts on like fantasy booking and how does it and how it inserts into the universe mode, like on the WWE 2K universe mode specifically, because it is you're basically kind of visualizing the fantasy booking aspects of of basically the fans' dream to like book certain matches. So what are your thoughts on that, basically kind of visualizing their fantasy booking dreams, you know?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's all Universe is. It's one big fantasy booking, and I love fantasy booking. I did my own series on it for a little while, and then views and lack of time led to me canceling it and just not really doing it. But yeah, Universe Mode is just kind of one big fantasy booking thing, except for instead of just focusing on one storyline of, where is Cody Rhodes going to be in 6 months, it's where is every member of the roster going to be in 6 months? Who's going to be feuding with who? And like we do focus on it kind of one feud at a time and then build it all out to make these big cards. But yeah, absolutely. It's just kind of one big fantasy booking, like you said, and it's a lot of fun. And I love getting other people in on it. I love seeing other people do it. It's definitely, I'm not one of those kind of people that's going to be like, oh, well, I've been doing this since I was 11, 14 years old, so no one else can do it because I'm the original. No, I love watching other people do this kind of stuff.
Yeah, it is great, like seeing like your basic, like I said, like your fantasy booking dreams kind of visualized in a video game format has always like been kind of not only interesting, but also kind of makes those dreams come true, even though in a video game kind of format. But yeah, obviously we're in the month of October, at least that's where we're recording this. So what are your thoughts on like pro wrestling the month of October? Do you see a positive, negative, like in terms of like your content consumption? What are your thoughts on that basically? Do you enjoy it? Do you hate it? Like, is it the worst wrestling month of the year? What are your thoughts?
I have really loved this year, honestly. It's been a great month and a great year overall, but fantastic month has been October for wrestling all over the place. I mean, if we're just talking the positives here, there's so much, and you asked me to narrow down two, and we'll get to that when we get to that, but there's just been
True.
So much. Bound for Glory was great. That was only the third TNA or Impact show I've ever paid for and watched. Extreme Rules, a lot of people said it was mediocre. I really enjoyed it. Raw,
Let me find
SmackDown,
these people
consistently
who are saying
great.
Extreme Rules is mediocre. By the way, sorry to cut you off, but let me find these people who are saying Extreme Rules is mediocre. It's one of the best pay-per-views of the year. As the premier WWE show for like the past 18 plus years, I will defend Extreme Rules to the death. But anyways, go on. What are you trying to say?
No, you're absolutely right. It was a great show. It was really enjoyable. Raw and SmackDown have been consistently pretty good. Like, yeah, not everything's gonna, blow the world apart and be these super huge. Not every episode of Raw is going to be like the one after Extreme Rules where you have the Good Brothers return and everything else that happened. Not every episode of SmackDown is going to see Bray Wyatt return for the first time in a year. But everything's been consistently very good television compared to what we had for a long time. Pay-per-views are fun. And it feels like every company is firing on all cylinders right now. And yeah, everyone's kind of hitting bumps in the road here and there. For every Good Brothers return, there's a War Joe. For every, you get my point, is what I'm saying there. Is for every up, there's a down, but the ups are very much outweighing the downs right now for me.
Ever since Papa H, I hate that name, by the way. I don't know why folks are calling it Papa H. NXT was great. Don't get me wrong, but there was a lot of like quote unquote cliches that he's done. I'm looking at you, best friends turn bitter rivalry, cliche that we've seen multiple times throughout his booking run, right? Throughout his NXT run. But yeah, like I do agree, like ever since he has taken over, Monday Night Raw and SmackDown has been very, very good. If not great, in certain aspects. We've talked about this on the last podcast because I didn't record the September for. If you listen to the intro, you know what I'm talking about. But still, it was, yeah, Monday Night Raw and SmackDown has been very, very good to the point where I'm kind of getting bored with AEW. Now, I've not been caught up with Impact Wrestling, obviously, because the only thing I know about Impact Wrestling is something Scott Steiner, which, speaking of which, I know you had a photo. I know you took a photo with Scott Steiner. So what are your thoughts? So how did you meet him? I know it was some convention. So like, I know this is one of your highlights, obviously, in the month of October. Talk to me about, you know, you meeting Scott Steiner. I'm going to assume for the first time. So what are your thoughts on it?
Oh, this was a great story. So back in 2019 for Christmas, I got a gift from my dad, and it was a VIP ticket to a wrestling convention. There's AJ Styles, former WCW tag team partner, and his name slips my mind right now, but he actually lives local to where I live in Georgia, very rural part of Georgia in Northwest Georgia. And he owns like a wrestling promotion, and he will do conventions every year where he'll manage to get legends there and some current guys that just aren't signed anywhere there for meet and greets. And for 2020, he was going to have Sting come to my hometown. And then 2020 happened. Things kept getting pushed back and pushed back. Sting signed with AEW, so they had to get a new guest, and my VIP ticket was going to get me to meet Kevin Nash. Then stuff happened there, and ultimately my VIP tickets led to me meeting Jake the Snake Roberts and Brutus Beefcake for free. But this all got pushed back, and ultimately my stepdad ends up going with me last week, and it was just 7 days ago now that it happened. We walk into this convention center, and I'm looking around. We're seeing who all's there. There's Virgil, Sabu, Teddy Long, all the people you're going to see at every wrestling convention. And then I look dead ahead through the convention center, and my jaw drops because there's a giant banner that says Scott Steiner on it. And there's Big Papa Pump himself just sitting under the banner, looking around, waiting for someone to walk up to him. I walk up to him, introduce myself, shake his hand. He's got even for being older, he's got a heck of a grip. He's still super strong. Take a photo op with him, get a nice autograph. It was just an incredible time.
Yeah, it was. It looked like you had a very good time meeting, you know, Mr. Mathematician himself, Scott Steiner. So he was great. And also, by the way, shout out to Scott Steiner. He is part of one of the greatest stables in professional wrestling history. And I think you know what I'm talking about. The Main Event Mafia. Yep.
I knew that's where that was going.
Shout out to the Main Event Mafia. I loved that stable as a kid, bro. That was something else. I mean, we're both around the same age. So that was like 2008, 2007, 2008. I was around that age when I discovered TNA for the first time. That was when I saw the Main Event Mafia. They were great. Shout out to the Main Event Mafia and Kurt Angle and Booker T. Hashtag Blackstone. But yeah, so let's talk about some of the highlights of the month of October. Now, obviously, you mentioned Scott Steiner. What is like that one highlight for you in the month of October? Because I know you mentioned Battle of Glory. Can you think of any other highlights in the month of October, at least in your opinion?
Yeah, absolutely. When you asked me the name too, I had to. And like, I was going to talk about Bray Wyatt's return, but that felt like just the biggest cop out of one. It's like, oh, what's the biggest thing that happened this month? Well, Bray Wyatt return. But honestly, it's a bit more or less noted, but it was an incredible match. It was honestly my favorite match at Bound for Glory. Masha Slamovich versus Jordan Grace. What a match there. That was a It was a storming match for Masha.
She looks great, by the way. Jordynne Grace, I mean, she is amazing, by the way. Like, have you seen her evolution throughout the years as, as a performer? She has improved a lot tremendously. And it makes sense because she's also, you know, she's done a lot of great things. You know, former Impact Knockouts champion, you know, Impact Knockouts tag team champ. Like, she is doing great stuff. But yeah, go on, because she's amazing, by the way. I can't talk nothing but positives about her, so.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But, like, I love that match because going into that, I was dead set Masha was going to win the title. She was undefeated. And then Jordynne wins it after a hell of a fight, and it was just incredible. I was blown away. I was live streaming what happened. My jaw dropped. I was shocked that Masha lost that matchup. But those two just beat the holy heck out of each other, and it was just such a cool match to watch. And like you said, Jordynne Grace had such a great evolution. She's honestly one of my favorite women's wrestlers in the world right now. I mean, first time I ever saw her was last year at Bound for Glory when she won the digital media title on the kickoff show. And now, a year later, she's in one of the main event matches handing a monster her first ever loss. So it's really cool to see that evolution.
Speaking of Bray Wyatt, that is my I have one of the highlights that I have to got to bring up. And that is one of the best things that happened in the month of why did I say July? Like, I don't know. July has been like months ago. I mean, I haven't done the podcast since around July, August. So it does make sense. But anyways, I'll take that elbow stride. Anyways, so the best things about pro wrestling that happened in the month of October is, as you mentioned earlier, the return of Bray Wyatt at Extreme Rules, this year's Extreme Rules. And which is funny because last year's Extreme Rules was like the exact opposite of what you call Extreme Rules. Because it was only like one match that had like a no DQ or no, like an Extreme Rules kind of match. And this year was like the exact opposite, basically. But anyways, enough of that. The show was pretty good. But like one of the things that was the biggest highlight was Bray Wyatt's return that got a shit ton of engagement all over social media. People were talking about it. People went insane. It is probably one of the highlights, not only of October, but like of the entire year, especially since Triple H is on his, you know, bringing everybody back kind of phase, which kind of makes sense because WWE's roster, especially the main roster, is kind of thin. They're in the, I would say their 2014 kind of era in terms of like the roster, because it's very, very thin. I'm actually surprised they're still doing a brand split, even when the roster is really, really that thin. But anyways, Bray Wyatt coming back, and then the following promo on SmackDown where he was real and authentic and started crying, and it was probably one of the realest things you've ever seen from, you know, Bray Wyatt himself. And then you had this kind of like ending, that spooky kind of ending with it, with a mask and stuff. Like, it looked very, very cool. And there's a lot of contradicting reports when it comes to what WWE has in store for Bray Wyatt. So I think it was like a week after, or a few weeks after the return of Bray Wyatt. I mean, the guy himself, David Boy Meltzer, as I like to call him, Dave Meltzer, David Boy Meltzer. Get it? Because David Boy Smith, whatever. Yep. So yeah, David Boy Meltzer, he said that... I don't want to say it again. Papa H. They signed a... Apparently, he, according to David Boy Meltzer, they kind of have like long-term plans for Bray Wyatt, and they have like some long-term planning that would go... that it would last to like WrestleMania, so that long-term booking. But then a few days later, David Boy Meltzer was like, we don't actually have any plans for him, which is kind of going with the flow kind of thing. So yeah, there's a lot of like contradicting reports whether they have a long-term plan, they don't have a long-term plan. So yeah, we'll see what happens, what they do with that character. But it's always like this, they're definitely taking it slow with that character. And I feel like this is, it's one of those things where like we as fans should be kind of patient and see where they go, because it could go kind of sideways. And also, speaking of reports, apparently I read a report today that WWE, they don't want to rush Bray Wyatt into like a feud just yet. And this is one of the examples I've said where they're taking it slow, because apparently they don't want to repeat the mistakes and when they had The Fiend, you know, when they immediately rushed him to a Universal title picture with Seth Rollins, which I thought was a huge mistake in my opinion. So yeah, so they don't want to repeat that same mistake again. So they're trying to keeping it slow. As I mentioned earlier, they don't want to rush him to interview and stuff like that. So we'll see what happens. What are your thoughts on like the return and how do you feel about the reports and like the contradicting reports? Do you think Bray Wyatt, do you think we'll see this kind of character evolution through WrestleMania, or do you think it's going to end abruptly? What do you think? What are your thoughts on the return and like the character so far, like what they're doing with him basically?
Right. So, yeah, the return, I think, was executed perfectly. I think the White Rabbit stuff kept us waiting just long enough to where it was starting to slightly get annoying how often we were having to wait. And then they kept it the hook baited until the last possible second at Extreme Rules. I think they capitalized on that perfectly. I think holding off on him entering a big feud outside of like just this feud with his inner demons, like with the debut of Uncle Howdy last night on SmackDown, I think that they're doing a great job there with holding off on things, taking it slow, telling it at like this horror movie pace each week, which I think is a great job there. It really just shows, you know, once he's given a little more freedom to say, this is where I want to go with it. Wyndham is one of the greatest minds in professional wrestling history, and I stand by that as well. And I genuinely, I know this might sound wild, but just kind of analyzing the scene we saw last night on SmackDown with Uncle Howdy saying, you sent him away, and a flash of the Fiend popping up, I almost wouldn't be surprised if we got Bray Wyatt versus himself in some kind of Firefly Funhouse cinematic style matchup come WrestleMania that leads to him facing his real inner demon of the Fiend at some point. I think that'd be interesting to see how they'd pull it off, especially with live crowds back nowadays. But it'd be very interesting to see. And I'm all for slow burn as long as you don't let the flame go out before it slowly burns.
Exactly. I'm very curious on what they're going to do with Bray Wyatt, specifically in the Royal Rumble, because the Royal Rumble was like one of my favorite like gimmick matches of the year. And also reports of like, speaking of gimmick matches, apparently King of the Ring is coming back as a PLE or pay-per-view, whatever you want to call it. I hate that fucking name, by the way, PLE, whatever. But anyways, so speaking of gimmick matches, and I'm very curious on what they're going to do with him specifically in the Royal Rumble, or even, I mean, WrestleMania, obviously, because like I told you earlier, you know, there's kind of contradicting plans on whether they have a long-term plan or not. But still, I'm very curious on what they're going to do with him in the Royal Rumble. Like, is he going to be on the match? Is he going to have a feud or something? So, yeah, we have to take this slow. We got to give it, you know, the patience. Or we can just watch Adam Blampied's, you know, booking video on how to book Bray Wyatt during this time, right? So we'll see what happens, right? Go ahead.
I'm also pretty excited to see what they do with him at the Rumble. Unfortunately, you know, the Rumble is my favorite show of the year. Unfortunately, I'm actually going to be out of the country during the Rumble next year, so I'm not even going to get to watch it live. I'll have to stay off. I'll have to delete Twitter off my phone or something to avoid everything and watch it when I get back. But I'm going on a vacation out of the country that week, so it'll be interesting to see the reaction to the show after I watch it back.
Yeah, exactly. And it was also wild that like Royal Rumble 2023, it would be 5 years since they introduced the women's Royal Rumble. So it's been like half a decade. I'm like, wow, like, because it's also around the same time that I started my blog. That was back in 2018. So it's kind of wild that like 5 years, like it was also the Rumble that Shinsuke Nakamura won, which is kind of weird, wild too, because he won the Royal Rumble of all folks, because see, look what they're doing now. He's kind of there now, so we'll see what happens. So yeah, the second highlight and the second and last highlight I have for the month of October, there was a lot of things that happened the month of October, but I gotta narrow down to two because I don't got time. I'm recording this pretty late. You know, I don't got time for that shit or whatever that meme that was, whatever that meme goes. And nobody got time for that. Yeah, that one. Right, so yeah. The second best thing that happened in the month of July. Why did I say July again? What is going on with me? Why do I?
Well, see, it's because I'm here and it's a universal known fact that I was born in July. So clearly you're just thinking about me.
Exactly. Maybe. I don't know. Like, I don't know. You're like Raven from like Teen Titans. You're like putting some voodoo magic on me. But anyways, the second best. I mean, it does make sense. the best things of pro wrestling that happened in the month of October is, I mean, come on. It's MJF's promo at the Tuesday, at the title Tuesday Dynamite. That was probably one of the best promos I've heard. Not only, I would say this is the best MJF promo I've heard, in my opinion, because this is where you can't, this is the MJF character as a whole. He's always been, and I've said many, many times, and I actually uploaded a YouTube short regarding my feelings on MJF, which you can check it out on my YouTube channel, Best Things About Pro Wrestling This Month, youtube.com/Best Things About Pro Wrestling This Month. But anyways, I've always said that he's always been a very one-dimensional character. He's always been like, I'm an asshole for the sake of being an asshole. But then I feel like ever since he started, especially this year, that is not even this year, even like this year, and even if you looked at his origins before he signed with AEW, with his days in MLW, where he talked about when he was a kid, he dealt with anti-Semitism and how he, as a kid, he's dealt with a lot of bigotry in his youth, to a point where he was like, he saw the worst in humanity, that one unfaithful moment where he saw the worst thing of humanity. And that's when he became like a piece of shit. And he's like, you know what? These motherfuckers, man, these human beings, they don't like me. I'm treating like shit. So you know what? I'm going to be an asshole too, because I've been treated horribly by human beings. That one fateful moment, that one villain origin story, you know what I mean? So kind of proves to us that we should like treat people nicely. You know, we got to watch what we say, but that's a different conversation. But yeah, MJF dealing with anti-Semitism to now seeing the MJF you're seeing today, kind of build his character up a little bit. And even they mentioned that during his feud with CM Punk, even before that. And then in this promo, he talked about how he sent a videotape to William Regal, and then Regal was basically William Regal saw what MJF had to offer for, like, it was like 7 years ago, and this man was like, hey, my hell no, bruv. So he was like, nah, you're not good. And then MJF had to work his ass off to become the man that he is today. And it made William Regal portray him into like a piece of shit, but a piece of shit that made sense given the way he told and said that I did this to you because I wanted to, you know, light the fire onto MJF so that he can be the person that he is today. So it's another character evolution for MJF as a character as a whole, seeing the origins of the character to now seeing that he was rejected multiple times, to like, he's not the perfect guy as he portrays himself. That is something that he had to work his ass off for like many, many, many years. So, and then later in the evening, after that amazing, amazing promo, you had MJF cashing in his poker chip, saying that I'm just gonna cash in for the title at Full Gear, which I'm looking forward to it, by the way. That one promo made me invest in AEW again, because I feel like for the past several months, AEW has been kind of in my honest opinion, has been kind of So that promo kind of not only built my interest for AEW, but kind of built the character for MJF, and how even during that promo, he was hesitant on beating William Regal. He was like, I want to beat this guy. And then William Regal was like, go ahead. And MJF was like, I don't want to do it. And of him, of all people, not doing that comes to show you that he's kind of going into the tweener kind of role that he's going into his character right now. So let me ask you this. First of all, what are your thoughts on that promo? And second, what are your thoughts on like the tweener promo aspect, the tweener character aspect in professional wrestling? Because professional wrestling has always been very binary. You're good, you're bad, heel, babyface. What are your thoughts on like the tweener kind of role in a professional wrestling, in a storyline, and in a professional wrestling character? So those are the two questions. Your thoughts on the character, thoughts on the promo, and your thoughts on MJF going into more of an anti-hero kind of role, and your thoughts on anti-heroes in general, or the great characters or tweeners.
So yeah, I really love that promo. That was, you know, that was the night where NXT and Dynamite went head to head again for the first time in almost 2 years. And so I was flipping back and forth, just trying to decide what to watch at the time. And, you know, a little side note here. A lot of people that might be coming here to listen from my channel know about a certain running joke with a certain member of Judgment Day on my channel. It was like when that show started, it was like, okay, so Wheeler Yuta talking or Rhea Ripley wrestling? Whatever will I choose? But anyway, that promo that made me like stay glued to Dynamite for a little while. And it was such a great promo because you could feel the actual emotion coming off of MJF. You could feel how much of a mix of reality and kayfabe that was, all the while Regal was just sitting there. And the best way to describe it is Regal was like the strict father that just wants MJF to do better. And I'm going to be honest here, I'm holding back so hard from going into my Regal impression because I realize that if I do a Blackpool impression around people that are actually, you know, from the other side of the world, I'm going to get virtually beat up.
I'm going to do it anyways. It's a bloody war games, bruv.
Well, I'll do it then. It's like, so MJF's just sitting there and he's like, you know, I'm here to prove you wrong. I'm going to be the best wrestler. I'm the best on the mic. I sold you on me 6 years ago. And all the while, it's like, and Regal's just like, that's right, Sunshine. You're going to get better. You're going to be a world champion. And you're going to do it the right way. All because you need to spite me. Like that. And MJF.
Way better than just, I did it.
Well, thank you. Thank you. But yes, yeah, so it does feel like Regal's the distant father that MJF desperately wants to please, but also desperately wants to prove wrong. And I think that's a very unique way of looking at it. And I have a weird feeling Moxley's got a pair of Regal brass knuckles coming to his face at Full Gear. I genuinely think Regal's going to break up Blackpool Combat Club and join with MJF at Full Gear. And as for the tweener aspect of it, I think that Shades of Grey is a great way to approach characters. I think, you know, you can have your solid white meat baby face, your mid-2000s John Cena can do no wrong. You can have your dark, dastardly, pure evil heels, your legend killer Randy Orton's. And I know I'm using old references here, but it's the first ones that came to mind. And then I think there's definitely a place for like the Shades of Grey character of like, well, am I a bad guy? Or am I a bad guy to you because you just don't like what I'm doing or because I'm beating your favorites? Because at the root of it, a good villain is someone that is truly the hero of their own story. And I think that's where MJF knew he was the villain for so long. And he was like, I am the devil and all of this. But at this point, it feels like so much of his promos had these aspects to them where it's like, well, he's just in his own story. Yeah, this is the hero.
Yeah, that is precisely. I never thought about it. You know, the distant father and the distant father that just wants his son to do better. I never thought about that. Well, that was a very brilliant take. Unfortunately, one of the things I hate about AEW's pay-per-views is that their pay-per-views are like 20 hours long. So like I have to wait till like 12 a.m. the next day or something. At least that's what it feels like. To watch for the main event, because honestly, AEW, one of the worst things about AEW, honestly, is their time pay-per-view length. I always criticize it. I've always made jokes about it. I've always said it's like basically the Snyder Cut. If the Snyder Cut had like too many fillers, basically,
yeah,
it's like one big anime filler, and then you just, it's like one big anime filler episode, but the good parts were like the last 5-10 minutes. So like that's what AEW feels like. It's like 4 or 5 hours long. I don't know, because you've lived in the US, so I'm sure like it affects, but like for international folks like us, you know, we've been watching these pay-per-views from like 4 a.m. to like 7 a.m. till 8 a.m. So like, what are your thoughts on like the AEW like pay-per-view time length in general? Because I do assume that it's fucking long as well, especially living in Georgia, which I'm gonna assume it's in the East Coast, right?
Yep.
It's in the East Coast.
So right now, it's 2:40 p.m. for me.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to assume it's like till like 1 in the morning or 2 in the morning. So like it must be really, really hard, don't you think?
Yeah, it's not fun. You know, if there's so many matches that don't need to be on the card, like I watched Double or Nothing at my co-host. Yep, I watched Double or Nothing at my co-host Ray's house back in May. And that's when I won back our predictions belt and everything. And like, we started that live stream at 4 o'clock because that's when their kickoff, like the buy-in started. And I was at his house until 1 a.m. We streamed for 7 hours just watching that. And like, don't get me wrong, I love Darby Allin. I love Kyle O'Reilly. That match could have happened on Wednesday, for example. And so many other matches just could have happened on Wednesday instead of being on the pay-per-view.
You know, I've said it on my blog like many, many years ago, Money in the Bank 2020 was one of my favorite pay-per-views of all time. You want to know why, Xander? Because it was a 2-hour and 30-minute pay-per-view. And the time it ended, I was like, yo, this pay-per-view ended at like 6:30 a.m.? Yo, this is the greatest day of my life already. This is we're off to a great fucking day so far. Cause I remember I was working. I was also like, I was an intern that time. I was also working from home. So I was like, oh my God, this is the greatest day of my life. I have 2 hours to myself. Let's fucking go, boys. So yeah, like that was even the pandemic pay-per-view shows in general was like very, very short, which honestly, I wish AEW could at least go with like a 3 hour show or 2 hours, at least a 3 hour pay-per-view. I mean, some people could justify saying that they only have like 4 pay-per-views on the year and they want to just vomit everything as possible. But I'm like, come on, people got responsibilities. Ain't nobody got time for that bullshit. You know what I mean? So.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And it's like, you know, people make the, well, they only have 4 pay-per-view a year argument, but in all fairness, and don't get me wrong, you know, I know a lot of people might think, oh, this Xander guy just hates AEW. No, I do love AEW, but how many weeks is it called AEW Dynamite versus how many weeks is it AEW Dynamite colon insert special name?
Yeah, that is true. Like Beach Break and all of these other like special names. They could just do all these matches in one of those special themed episodes, which they've done in the past. I mean, some of the best matches came from those one-off AEW like specials. Like, for example, Thunder Rosa versus Britt Baker, that unsanctioned match last year, which was great, by the way. That was probably the only highlight of the women's division because right now it's kind of iffy right now.
Yeah.
So especially what they're doing with Athena, a.k.a. Ember Moon. I love Ember Moon, but she is kind of, I'm not going to lie, I'm very disappointed in her run so far. And even like Ruby Soho, like that women's division in general has always been underutilized. And honestly, I wish AEW could do something about it. What are your thoughts on like the women's division? I don't know if I asked you about this. So what are your thoughts? Just briefly tell me like what are your thoughts on it, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm someone who really loves women's wrestling. I think there's so many great women's wrestlers in the world. And I think it's something that doesn't get enough highlight anywhere. And so AEW, they have all the stars that could align to make a great women's division. And I think they just, I don't think Tony Khan really cares about it. I mean, he said before that it doesn't draw ratings, but the thing is, it's not going to draw ratings if you don't give it a chance to draw ratings. Because he, for example, there was the CM Punk title vacation versus Thunder Rosa's title vacation, where CM Punk got 12 minutes, Thunder Rosa got 90 seconds, and he said, well, CM Punk's going to do more numbers. And the thing is, yeah, CM Punk did more numbers, but Thunder Rosa is not going to do more numbers if you don't give time for people to get invested in her.
Yeah, there's a reason why CM Punk was CM Punk is that for years, you know, the writers and the bookers, they've given the dude a chance to be who he is. And if they just given that same time for Thunder Rosa, she's going to draw in some ratings, some attention at some point. You feel me? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's so many people that just can get themselves over. Another great example is Nyla Rose. Nyla Rose is hilarious. And we're kind of
she's amazing, by the way. She's exactly. Fucking funny.
With the TBS title stuff right now, we're finally going to see more of her personality versus just screaming monster that they've made her for several years. And so you give people the chance to make a character for themselves or get themselves over, it works. Another great example, looking at like WWE's LA Knight, look at how that guy did. He came in and he was just kind of there at first. Then you put a mic in his hand and he became the most over guy in NXT for over a year. And
yeah,
that goes for a lot of people, no matter what company it is.
It is. That is extremely true. You know what I mean? I don't know if that was a pun or not when I said extremely true because Extreme Rules happened this month. I don't know if that was a pun or not. Unintended pun. I don't fucking know. I'm not funny. Whatever. Hit that 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and Spotify if you enjoyed that unintended pun. But anyways, yeah, thank you, Xander, for being on the show. That was awesome. I know it's been short, so apologies for that because, you know, I'm recording this at like almost 11 in the morning, 11 a.m. No, p.m., my bad. It's like really, really late. So yeah, like Xander, like you've been great. You've put in your insights into, you know, professional wrestling and, you know, and you've talked about a little bit of the 2K universe mode, which side note, I haven't played a 2K game since 2K16. I'm a hardcore gamer. I've been playing video games my entire life, but like that was 2K is one of those series where like I'd buy it once every few years or something like that. So one last question before I let you go. Like, okay. what is the best, in your opinion? Because we've seen the 2K name has been around since 2K14 because we all know, like, THQ got defunct, basically. So now 2K Sports, 2K in general, or Take-Two Interactive, rather, took the WWE license, and now the 2K game has debuted in 2K14. So from 2K14 to, like, 2K2022, I'm going to assume you're playing it on the PS4 or PS5.
I'm actually on the PC for a lot of it. Oh. I do have a PS4 copy of it. Pretty much the way it's done is the WWE and AEW series are done on the PC, but then Impact is and LSWF are done on the PS4. That way I have enough character slots available.
Yeah, I was about to ask. I was like, how the hell can you find a PS5? Like, it's really, really hard. But anyways, especially
you can't. That's the answer.
I mean, I live abroad, and they just recently increased the price to like $50, which, I mean, screw you, capitalism. I hate you so much. But anyways, so yeah, from 2K14 to like now, what is like the best 2K game, not only in terms of gameplay, but like the 2K universe mode, in your opinion, which was like the best?
That's a great question. So I think in terms of universe mode, 19 is going to go down as my favorite universe mode because that one had the most customizability to it. Granted, like 2K20 onward had some great ideas for universe mode, like being able to set as many or as few matches as you want for weekly shows and pay-per-views. That's a really great addition, you know, instead of being locked to 7 matches on pay-per-view and 5 to 7 on weekly shows, you're going to have as low as 3 or as many as, I think, 12 on any show you want. I think there's a lot of great ideas there, but I think 19 just had better rivalries. It had promos within universe mode. You could do a lot of stuff with it that just really worked out a lot better. And I can't really tell you much about the universe mode proper on 2K22 because it doesn't work. So everything I do is done through exhibition and edited all together. But in terms of gameplay, I know this might sound, and I think 19 I've also just got some nostalgia for because that's where the series was run from 2019 until earlier this year. We almost spent 3 years on 2K19 on the PC with mods. So there's a lot of nostalgia there for me. But also with gameplay-wise, honestly, I think 2K22 might have my favorite gameplay yet.
Okay. And one other last question. What is the best? I mean, GM mode was introduced on 2K22, so I'm curious on like if you've ever put in the time into GM mode, and if so, what is your favorite like GM mode within? Because you know, GM mode hasn't been around that long. Like, it was introduced in SmackDown 06 or 07. Mm-hmm. SmackDown vs. Raw 2006, 2007 to like it ended in 2008. So like, what are your thoughts on your what is your favorite like GM mode ever, if you've even played it?
So I've not played the one on 2K22. I keep telling myself I'm going to, but I just have never had the time to sit down and play it. I did play 06, 07, and 08's GM mode. I even did a full-blown series on 08 a couple of years ago, and that was a ton of fun. But I think 2007's probably got the best one because SVR 07 has such a big roster and it's only Raw and SmackDown. So there's just going to be a huge pool of free agents to draw from as well when you do the show. So it feels like there's actual competition there. I like 08 as well, but 08 has ECW in there. So there's never anyone in the free agency available.
Yeah, exactly. Because ECW, when they had the featuring ECW roster, it only had like one championship, and that was like the ECW world title. They didn't have the tag titles. There wasn't the TV title, the hardcore title. There was nothing. It was just like the world championship, and that's it. By the way, speaking of the GM mode, I remember when Triple H was like drafted to ECW, like all of the Monday Night Raw stars were on ECW because I picked Monday Night Raw because I had like a series I played because I was playing it on via the PSP emulator on my phone. I was playing the SmackDown vs. Raw 2008. And I remember like I basically wanted to make Monday Night Raw great again. So I had to like, you know, sign all of like the best stars were on like ECW, which is kind of hilarious in hindsight. Can you imagine like back then, like Triple H, John Cena, you know, Randy Orton, you know, Ric Flair, like all of these folks from like back in like 06 or 07 or even 08 are literally on ECW, just kind of hilarious in hindsight. Can you imagine that? That would be funny. So
that would be funny.
So yeah, I appreciate you being on the show. Like, Before I let you go, like, where can people find you? I know you've done the LS11 universe mode on YouTube. So what kind of things you're working on right now besides that, obviously, and where can people find you basically?
So if you want to find the content I make, LS11 universe on YouTube is the best place to find me. You get universe mode content every day of the week, including Saturdays now. So Monday through Saturday, there's always something. We are wrapping up our Wednesday show of AEW Rampage pretty soon, and taking about a 2-month break. Then Wednesdays will get filled by a revived NXT. So you can find everything there. I'm trying to get back into live streaming a little bit on there as well, and on my personal YouTube channel, which is Xander_LS11. where I'm doing some non-wrestling stuff. When the new Pokemon games, Scarlet and Violet, come out in a couple weeks, I'll be playing those live on there. You can also follow me on Twitter at Xander_LS11, and you could follow the LS11 Universe on Twitter at LS11_Universe. And other than that, that's about all I really do. I've given up on Twitch after recent stuff there, and every other thing I just kind of is just kind of a private thing. So yeah, Twitter and YouTube, best places to find me.
Speaking of Twitter, you can find me on Twitter at Omar the Player Guy, which, speaking of which, my Twitter, for some weird reason, I've been getting more followers as of late, and probably has nothing to do with the fact that some of within two of the wrestling fans that followed me, five of them are like porn bots, but I'll take the follows anyways. Follow me on Twitter at Homer the Player Guy on Twitter. Find me on my website, the playerwrestlingpodcast.blogspot.com. I haven't posted anything in like over a month because I will announce something, because I have some interesting news that I'm going to announce. So follow me on Twitter. I have some interesting announcement regarding that. Hit that 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. I've already seen, like I said on my previous episode, somebody did hit the 5 stars. This is my first ever 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, which is impressive considering that, you know, I just started the podcast like 6 months ago. Well, technically 2 years ago, but that was like one episode. And then I started like around earlier this year. So that's pretty, pretty cool. And also hit that 5 stars on Spotify right now. Speaking of which, I don't want to be one of those folks, but like, please subscribe to my YouTube. But like, yeah, please subscribe to my YouTube. I'm almost at 20 subs right now. And like I said on the intro, we've reached over 5,000 total viewers, which is insane because I just started like last week. So yeah, if I could just hit 20 subs within like this week or something, that would be great. Because right now I'm like around 17, so that would be great. So yeah, just hit that 5 stars and all that bullshit. It's all in the description, so just do the follow stuff and also follow his stuff right now. Thank you so much, guys, and we out.